2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. University of Utah kicked off their spring football today. We're hoping to get somebody live from up on the hill, first day of practice, as we have them walking off the field in just a little while. And we'll coordinate that. Once we can get it going, we can make it happen. But, of course, as we get you going through spring, we don't want you to forget some of the opponents who are upcoming. And so we reached out to our sibling station down in Arizona, ArizonaSports.com's own Jake Anderson, who's been on the program before. Jake, thanks for being with us, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, you bet. So the Sun Devils, have they figured everything out now that they're underway with everything? How's Kenny Dillingham feeling about everything?
Yeah, Kenny's awesome. He's from here. I actually played against him in high school. But his whole thing is about being from Arizona, Activate the Valley is his little hashtag. But the energy that he brings, I mean, every time he talks to us, his voice is gone just from how much he's yelling. And I'm not joking. He's got media members running in between these periods because he makes his players run everywhere they're going. Like, it going from Herm Edwards the last, was it 5-6 years to Kenny Dillingham now, it's just a complete 180. And coming off of a season that had the most losses in program history, 9, there's only one way to go, obviously, which is up. And Kenny Dillingham, I think, has been a home run hire. Now it's just going to come down to the results on the field.
All right, so you played against him in high school, but how did you do against him? Like,
oh, it's a game I don't really like to think about.
Okay. We can move
think
on.
About this.
No,
you
know, we can move on. We don't even have to talk about it. I get
blew
it.
I'll put it this way. We were up by 17 or 20 with 2.5 to go and lost in regulation. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, that hurts.
What was the? What are the schools? Because I know some of them. I'm trying to figure out, where did he go to school then in high school? Where'd you go?
So he went to Chaparral High School. I went to Notre Dame Prep. He hired the Chandler High School's head coach had already been on ASU right. staff, but he hired actually his head coach at Chaparral, and then he hired Saguaro's head coach, and Saguaro has become an absolute powerhouse here in Arizona. Keely Ringo over at Georgia, Brock Purdy's from Gilbert, but more AZ talent there. But basically the last 12, 15 years of state championships are now all on Arizona State staff. So from a high school local recruiting standpoint, Arizona is going to be an ASU school, whereas I brought up Brock Purdy because he wasn't even recruited to go to ASU, and yet he's in the NFL now.
Yeah, and you had a bunch of guys that came back home and transferred back in. I know there are a couple of players from BYU that did that. The Pac-12's loaded.
Jacob Donover.
Yeah, the Pac-12 is loaded, right? It's loaded with quarterbacks. I mean, you got six legitimate star quarterbacks in the conference. I was reading about that there's a massive quarterback competition going on. Who is the star? Who's the guy that can compete against all these other great quarterbacks in the Pac-12?
So it's really interesting because there's no one that really stands out in terms of who's ready to play right now. Trenton Borghese is the incumbent starter, and then Drew Pine, who transferred from Notre Dame. So he and Trenton Borghese are the only ones that actually have legitimate college experience. To whereas you look at Jacob Conover, he spent a few years at BYU, but he didn't actually play in real game time. Ben Meredith, he's a returning player, has no experience. But the one to me that stands out in terms of the highest ceiling is Jaden Rashada, who is the five-star kid that got $13 million in an NIL deal from Florida. That fell through, and it's the only reason why he ended up at Arizona State because his dad played here. A funny little story with him is Kenny Dillingham had been recruiting him when he was at Oregon, and Jaden Rashada has a picture from when he was a little kid that he hand drew of him playing for ASU, and he still had it.
Wow.
And he gave it to Kenny Dillingham. So Jaden Rashada is the one that will eventually get the keys to this program. He's here at spring ball. He honestly should be in high school still, right? This would be the semester he graduates. So that's my only hesitation is, are you going to give a true freshman 18-year-old kid the keys in your first year at the helm, or do you want to maybe give some of your older guys a chance to do what they do? You could say four guys could be the starter at this point, and I believe you.
You know, we were looking at kind of some of these guys. Obviously, Jaden Rashada, people know from the mess of a situation that was between, you know, the Florida, Miami initially, then Florida with the NIL deals, and whether or not that money was actually even promised or how much, you know, was on the table or whatever, what a mess that became. How much of that kind of gets in the way of what he's trying to do? Because he came to Arizona State and was like, I just want to play football. NIL deals, great if they come along, but it seems like a lot of other people were sort of speaking for him before he ended up at Arizona State.
Yeah, and we actually got a chance to speak to him for the first time on Saturday, and the thing that blew me away is how humble this kid is. I lost count how many times he said, I'm just happy to be here. Like you said, he just wants to play football. You can see him when he's on the field. If it's not his turn, if it's not his rep, he's doing the motion. Like this kid just wants to play football. And the fact that he's wearing his dad's number 5, and everyone talks about that. But it's just he's finally here. He finally gets to throw the ball, and he has the best arm out of anyone I've seen. I mean, Jacob Conover is right there as well, an Elite 11 quarterback. But he's got the zip on it to where when you're running some short routes, sometimes the balls are going through these kids' hands, and not because it's a bad ball. There's just a lot of pace coming on it, and that'll come with time, with chemistry. But, we don't get to sit in the film room with them, so we don't really get to see – you know, who's getting the X's and O's quickly. And right, and this is a brand new head coach. So this is a brand new offensive system that they're going to have to learn. So again, and we're only, 4 or 5 days into spring now in terms of practices that media have been at. So very early in the process.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
You know, spring ball, a lot of it's trying to figure out what you have. And then it's also what you don't have. Where is kind of things? How did things work out as far as transfer portal and what may be some needs that still need to be filled before the season starts?
I mean, without a doubt, linebacker is probably the thinnest position ASU has, and that's because you lost In the last 2 years, you have lost Eric Gentry, who's now at USC. You have lost Kyle Soley and Merlin Robertson, who both just don't have any eligibility left. And then Kyle Soley's little brother, Connor, transferred to Oregon. So basically everyone that you thought would be playing is no longer an option. So linebacker is definitely going to be the Achilles heel, I think, of this team. And then on defense anyway. And then on offense, we don't really know who the offensive linemen are going to be. The best offensive lineman they had was Ladarius Henderson. He will be playing on Sundays eventually, but he transferred to Michigan. So we're kind of seeing who that all is going to be. But from a transfer perspective, they did really well in the portal. Like you said earlier, we had a lot of Arizona kids come home. Tristan Monday is an example. He came back from Wisconsin. You got some other players like, Xavier Guillory, who is following Charlie Ragel from Idaho State, and he's a film junkie, as Coach Rashad Samples, who was the wide receivers coach with the Rams. Now he's at Arizona State as the pass game coordinator. So from a pass catcher standpoint, from a skills perspective, I think ASU's offense is actually going to be pretty talented. Now it's just a matter of who's the quarterback going to be. Once that kind of all gets figured out, I don't think that ASU is going to have the problems that they had last year. They're not going to be a world beater. I mean, they're not going to compete for a Pac-12 title or anything, but they're definitely going to be, in a bowl eligible team, I would expect at minimum. And, let's see what Jaden Rashada looks like when he's a junior and this whole offense and this whole thing is really going at full steam.
What was the full shakeout, or have we seen it yet, from the NCAA and from some of the violations and things like that? Or does that just go away with the former coaching staff?
I wish I could give you guys an insight on that, but it's just one of those things to where the NCAA takes forever to do it, whether that's because they're doing their due diligence or whether it's just they're not that concerned about it. I can't answer that. But we do know they take forever. But there really hasn't been any talk about, what are the sanctions coming? What are those looming violations? What are those going to be? There's really been no words or whispers, anything about it. I always was saying, if you looked at what the University of Arizona did with, DeAndre Ayton and Sean Miller, the FBI was involved and they self-sanctioned, and really nothing ended up coming of that after it was all said and done. ASU didn't have to self-sanction because they were so bad that it didn't matter last year. But also, you fired the coach, and now you have a whole new regime in here. So, like you said, it could just go away, but really no one's talking about it. No one's asking Kenny Dillingham about it or President Michael Crow or Ray Anderson, the athletic director. So it's one of those we kind of just wait and see and twiddle our thumbs.
A lot of speculation about a media rights deal. And a lot of speculation about the Four Corner schools or even possibly the Arizona schools leaving to go to the Big 12. What are the things you're hearing there, and what's fact and what's fiction?
So from a theoretical perspective, I think it would be genius with, Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and Arizona State to join the Big 12. Obviously, Utah is, the cream of the crop of the Pac-12. With it, UCLA and USC leaving for the Big Ten. Colorado now has Deion Sanders as their head coach. Arizona, I know, got upset by Princeton. Arizona got upset by Princeton, but they're a basketball powerhouse. And Arizona State, if they can be, the above average to some every once in a while really good football team, that would be nothing but advantageous for a potential, Big 12 alignment. But to answer your question, President Michael Crow just recently said that there are deals in place that would be better for the Pac-12, that would be better for Arizona State to stay in the Pac-12. So he kind of put those rumors at least aside for now, and it made it sound like ASU was not going to be going anywhere.
Jake Anderson, by the way, joining us from ArizonaSports.com. You can read his byline there. He covers, among other things, the Arizona State Sun Devils and getting ready with this season. I want to go back a little bit to Jacob Conover because he came out of BYU, but he's a kid from down there. And when you say some of these guys aren't ready yet, I think that was something that I think frustrated a lot of BYU fans with a high star rating and then You just never see it kind of really materialize anything on top of the fact that he was sitting behind a lot of guys. But what does he do well, and what are some things he needs to actually figure out if he is going to be the starting quarterback at ASU at some point?
So Conover's high school coach was the interim coach last year. So there's already a connection and a familiarity there. And it's Sean Aguano. He's still on the staff as the running backs coach. But from what I've heard, I've never covered him, but from what I've heard already, he is a leader. He can take control of his huddle. He can call out things, demand things. He's very cerebral and understands what he's doing. Just from the few practices I've seen, the kid can throw the football, but again, not always the most accurate, and that's kind of been the one Achilles heel, I would say. Again, this is not real football, right? This is 7-on-7. They just put on their full pads today, right? They're not getting. I mean, not that the quarterbacks ever get hit, but there's not linemen in front of them, right? So, but still. Even then, if you're having accuracy issues with a lack of linemen in front of you, what's going to happen when you actually do have everyone coming after you? In college, I don't think height makes as big a difference in college as it does in the NFL. He's only 6 foot, which again is above average for most people. But playing the game of football, you obviously want to be bigger. To whereas, you know, Jaden Rashada is your prototypical 6'4", and Ben Meredith, who's another quarterback. That has a potential to be maybe the starter, maybe is 6'3". Like you said, he has, you know, the historical prevalence of being an elite 11 quarterback. He didn't, you know, win the whole thing, but still he was there as one of the best, you know, top 20 quarterbacks in the league. And I think he was expected to do more at BYU. If I'm wrong, please correct me, but he was definitely a big name amongst all those quarterbacks in his class. So he definitely has a chance to start. It's just one of those where who's going to take that leap, and it might not come in spring. Maybe it's summer or fall camp. And we still got a ways to go. Like I said, I don't want to get too out in front of ourselves here, but it's definitely a 4, maybe 5 horse race. I don't think Rashada wins as a true freshman. So that's why I keep saying it's more of a 4 than a 5.
Yeah.
So, Arizona, Phoenix, the area is certainly a professional sports town. What kind of challenge does Arizona State have to compete against those other teams and all the different interests in different sports?
Yeah, it's kind of a pro and a con. I mean, the con is that yes, you don't have the feel of a college town to where you're the biggest game in town. But at the same time, it's the biggest school in the country in terms of how many students go there. So that isn't an issue. It's just the team was so bad last year that how can you convince an 18, 19-year-old kid that want to spend their Saturday when the team is just giving you very bad results on the field? But when I was a student, that was the last time ASU was really at its peak. They were ranked 6th in the country, and you know they were one slot behind Alabama. They ended up going to the Pac-12 championship game. I mean, you're getting 75,000 people in the stands, and they've renovated the stadium, and it doesn't hold as much anymore. But going back to Kenny Dillingham, he's really shown that this program is on the come up again. And his whole recruiting pitch is, not only are you going to come to Arizona and play football for me, we're going to set you up for life because this is a retirement destination. This is a state in which you can build your career financially after football. And it doesn't necessarily just have to be in sports. It can be in a whole plethora of things because we have all these major sporting teams and all the businesses and all the companies that call Arizona their headquarters, there are a lot of incentives there. And obviously NIL comes to mind, and ASU was kind of late on that train, the NIL train, for reasons that I just don't agree with, and they finally have come around to investing in it. So I think it's kind of it goes both ways. But when ASU is good at football, this I'm not going to call it an ASU town, but they get butts in seats. There is no question that as long as the product on the field is good, there will be a sellout every game.
Jake Anderson, ArizonaSports.com. You can follow his byline there and get the latest on these Arizona State Sun Devils to see what they're building now. It's really good to have that energy from a young coach like Kenny Dillingham. I think that at the very least, everybody's watching that guy and going, well, you certainly can't say he doesn't want to be there, and you certainly can't say that he wants to leave suddenly either. So those are two things that are really, really good, and I think that he's got a bright future. Jake, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.